Second hour, next man up. It's a TD Thursday on the program. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you. Broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It is your time for the next 30 minutes. Get your questions in for Teron Davenport, 615-737-1025. We want to hear from you. You can text or call our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, let's start with this. Justin in Smyrna asking about Xavier Restrepo and what kind of impact he could have down the stretch this season. You know, Restrepo didn't get called up last week. Mason Kinsey got the call up from the practice squad. Bryce Oliver also coming back somewhat soon from injury. Do you think we could see Restrepo at some point the rest of the year, or do you think that maybe this is a redshirt year for him?
I think at some point you may see him. I mean, you look at how last year, like, you saw Tate Martin and yeah, Mason
right,
Kinsey, a lot of Mason Kinsey as the year went on. So I think it's possible. One thing to note, John Fossil, because obviously special teams is a part of it.
Yeah.
Right? And we know James Prochet gives you that. We know Mason Kinsey, actually, it turns out that he's played the corner position for them on special teams, on punt teams. So what John Fossil said was he's going to side with the guy who has put in the time, who has the experience. So that works in Restrepo's favor, but guess what you gain as you go throughout the year? You put in time and you gain experience. So it wouldn't surprise me if down the line he gets an opportunity.
Yeah, and I always want to pump the brakes a little bit of, even if he gets called up and gets to be active for a game, that doesn't mean he's immediately going to be your starting slot receiver.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably going to get a couple of snaps on offense here and there, and you'll see what he can do. Quickly, just playing off of that, and again, get your questions in. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. You can text or call. Bryce Oliver coming back. Do you think we see him get an increased role in the offense, especially if Calvin Ridley's hurt? Maybe you see him take some of those Ridley snaps instead of Van Jefferson if he is healthy. Although I know you mentioned that special teams plays a role in that as well, because Bryce Oliver is one of, if not the best gunner on the team.
Yeah, I mean, I think he should get some opportunities. You look at that slant, he runs that, he catches that thing.
Yep.
And I don't care who's waiting, like, he's going to snap that out of the air. And that's one of the plays that I think has just become a signature for him. So, yeah, I would definitely get him involved in there. He's someone that you know, gives you a steady presence as a pass catcher. But, I mean, make no mistake, his primary impact is going to be as a gunner. But guess what? If you need a kick returner, he does that too.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you want Tim DK back there, you know, the guy who leads the league in all-purpose yards. I know he has probably about 70 punt returns, but still – 70
kick returns.
But still, you know, he's getting the yards.
Yes. Chim DK has been great. And I, you know, Calvin Ridley, when he gets healthy, is clearly going to be a part of the offense. That is the guy you want to be Cam's go-to target. But outside of that, I'm all for the youth movement. Get all of the young guys in there for the Titans. I think Imanner, Chim, Helm, Oliver, those are the guys you need to see what you've got heading into the offseason. Because as we mentioned, I think that's a position the Titans are likely going to spend a high draft pick on in April.
And they're going to need to.
Yes. Yeah, you need to find that running mate for Cam Ward. You know, we always talk about, you know, Joe Burrow got Jamar Chase in year two. Not saying there's a Jamar Chase in this year's draft. There might be one in 2027. But you got to go out there and get a go-to guy for Cam Ward. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Your chance to talk to TD here over the next 30 minutes. Let's see. Robert sent this in. And, you know, less of a question, more of a thought. And I wanted to get your thoughts on this, TD. He says, should have gave Vrabel the power he wanted and got out of the way. I understand the revisionist history of looking back and seeing what Mike Vrabel's doing now with the Patriots, but do you think that there's regret about letting Vrabel go, even though we knew what things look like here at the end, losing 18 of 24? And when he did get the chance to make personnel decisions, typically they didn't end up going well for the Titans.
Andre Dillard.
Yeah.
it's a tough marriage, right? it's always easy to look back after things have gone wrong and say, yeah. You know what? I'd have been better off keeping. No, you don't do that.
Yeah.
Because guess what? You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. It's gone. So to me, the best thing to do is just look forward and say, hey, okay, we know what worked. How could we get something similar to what worked or find something that works, period? And I think that's why, honestly, Robert Saleh to me is going to have a strong chance because I'm not going to say he's the same level of, like, boss as Mike Vrabel.
But built in the same vein.
Yeah, that same similar cloth.
Yes.
Right? And so you get that, and then you bring in a coordinator. You know, we've been talking a lot about the pairing that the San Francisco alum, right? Robert Saleh,
Mike McDaniels,
because we know he's going to get fired. And then it's like,
speak
the truth. You know, I don't want him to get fired. Never want anybody.
But the truth, the writing's on the wall.
You know what I'm saying? So I think you look at that, right? That's a good pairing. And I don't know how quickly he would get another shot at a head coaching job. So now you have a little bit of a stability there for your offense, for Cam Ward, et cetera, et cetera. And you got something rolling in.
Yeah.
Now, my only question, because I would hate to see this organization lose Denard Wilson. You know, so how that will work is another story. But, I mean, this is the business, right?
Yeah. And going to be a ton to sort out over the next 3 to 4 months as we find out who is going to be the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans. But Saleh and McDaniel, I think that's the pairing that's gaining steam the most. You know, Mike McCarthy was one of the early names mentioned, Arthur Smith. But I've heard a lot of people mention that, and I'm wondering if that ends up being the move that they go to.
How do you feel about Arthur Smith and keeping Denard Wilson?
I wouldn't hate that. I wouldn't hate it. I mean,
I
think Arthur Smith is a realistic option that fits a lot of what you're looking for in the next head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Guy who's done it before, guy who can come in and, you know, maybe he doesn't want to come back and work for this organization again, but I find it hard to believe that he spent 15 years here and didn't at least enjoy his time with the Titans.
And remember, he didn't get fired. Like, he went and got a head coach's job. Now, that job in Atlanta, I wish he would have done more with Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
But, like, you got Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, Drake London. It's like,
yeah. And
how do you not do well?
He wasn't using Pitts and Robinson very often. Like, Tyler Algier was getting a ton of carries.
Yeah, yeah. He didn't get good quarterback play, though.
Right.
You know, Desmond Ritter, a guy I really liked at Cincinnati.
The three players that I believe started a game for him while he was there.
Tyler Heinicke.
Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ritter, Taylor Heinicke. Sorry, it's not great. And I think that's a large reason why it didn't work out. You've seen he's gone to Pittsburgh and had success.
Mm-hmm.
I think Arthur, if I had to put a percentage chance on who it's going to be, I think Arthur would be the largest. Although it wouldn't be high, right? But it just seems to make a ton of sense. Mike McCarthy obviously makes a ton of sense. We don't know what the relationship is between him and Brinker, mm-hmm. but if it is good, that one would make a ton of sense. And then I think Saleh. Like, I think if you had to put a top three, that would probably be it, with maybe Matt Nagy would be kind of in that next spot.
Yeah, he's in the mix. Matt Nagy, I think, is in the mix. Just now, who was I talking to? We were walking down to the press conference, and they had mentioned Mike Kafka. And look,
yeah,
I know when he interviewed here, it was a very bland interview. Mike Bergonzi seems like a bland guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Maybe
very stoic.
Maybe it fits.
So maybe there's a match there. And I remember Kafka was in Kansas City before he came to the Giants.
That's a good
point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then you're seeing the success that they're having. Well, I quotation marks around it.
Yeah.
Jackson Dart. You know what I mean? So maybe there's something there.
Yeah, and he's been mentioned as like a first-time head coach. Joe Brady has obviously been mentioned too. I get a little bit concerned about that, and maybe it's just the Brian Callahan PTSD, but I think, yes, priority number one is who's going to develop Cam Ward, right? But I think priority number two is building a culture, because that locker room, I don't know if there is a total and complete buy-in right now, because there isn't a vision anymore, right? Your head coach is gone. So I think you need someone who's going to come in, stand in front of that room, and is going to get all 53 or 85 guys who are in there to start camp to buy in on what he's selling.
What do you think of McCoy?
I don't know. Like,
he seems to talk the talk.
Right. Man, I do think that he is your stereotypical leader of men guy. Like, he steps up and he can command the room.
Mm.
He's getting a tryout, right? He's getting an extended tryout. And we talked about it last week. The last three interim head coaches in franchise history have all gotten the permanent job. Going all the way back to Jerry Glanville, Jeff Fisher, Mike Mularkey. Is it impossible? No. But unless things turn around really quick over the last 2.5 months of the season, I kind of find it hard to believe they're not going to go with an outside hire. But yeah. Who knows? Who knows? 615-737-1025. We got off on a little bit of a tangent there, but we are going to get to your questions. Get your questions in. You can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. The number 10 Vanderbilt Commodores will take on number 15 Missouri this Saturday at First Bank Stadium. Pregame begins at 1 p.m. on 1025 The Game with the kickoff at 2:30. Vanderbilt football is brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops, and we will be joined by the voice of Vanderbilt football, Andrew Allegretta, coming up in just over an hour at 11:30 a.m. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you on this Thursday. Get your questions in for TD. We'll do one more segment of Talk to TD after this here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly.
Hey, listen. If you are with a woman and she starts playing this type of music, that Mary J., you know she's a woman.
It's time to put a ring on it.
That's grown folk music right there. That Mary J. Yes, sir. Good. Hey, that's an excellent selection.
Okay,
man.
So this wasn't a TD request.
No, it wasn't.
There we go,
Parker just said, "I'm gonna put some grown folk music on it."
I love it, man. I love it. Well done back there behind the glass, Parker Kelly, getting TD clapping. That's a win. That's an A+ there from Parker Kelly. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. It is your chance to talk to TD on this Thursday morning. We got plenty of questions. Let's start by going to our phone lines. Kenny the Mailman is on the line. Our good friend Kenny, good morning. Thanks for calling. What you got for TD today?
Good morning, one and all. TD, always good to speak with you.
What's up, Kenny?
There's a tiny piece of info. Put this away in your back pocket because it might tip the scales. If all the coaches are equal, Art Smith might have a tiny, tiny, tiny advantage. You know what that is?
What is that?
Free shipping. Hey,
FedEx it.
But the Titans are sort of cheap. You offer them a bonus free shipping to that program? All in. But you know what? The organization is sort of bland. The players are sort of bland. Do they have to reach for a coach they can stick his face on billboards and radio stations to sell tickets? That shouldn't even come into the equation. But moving into that stadium, if you're 3-14, how does that go part of the equation? Y'all have a great day.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Kenny. I mean, I get what he's saying there of, like, you want somebody who's going to energize the fan base. And, you know, I think there's a maybe less than 0% chance of it happening. But, like, a John Gruden, that's why that name gets brought up, because whether he would still be a good head coach or not, it would energize the fan base.
Yeah, it would energize the fan base. I think, you know, you talk about a face for the billboard. It's Cam. Like, that's – you got to put
right.
him
you gotta, you got to push your quarterback.
He's going to be the one. And here's the thing. You had the guy that you could use to sell tickets to Mike Vrabel. That's gone. So, you know, do you look for something similar to that? Maybe. But I think really it's all about – and that's also why I don't feel you trade – I believe this. I believe ownership is hesitant. A part of why they're hesitant, among other things, to trade Jeffrey Simmons is the blowback.
Yeah.
I think there will be a large blowback because then everybody, all the fans are going to have to acknowledge, like, whoa, this really is a rebuild project.
No, it's a good point because the one thing we talk about all the time with this team, like, the depth is bad, but also – there are no stars on this team outside of Jeffrey Simmons, and trading him away You don't know how that's going to go over with the team. I didn't want to – I hate to get away from our questions here. Quickly, Tavondre Sweat was back this week. He made a nice play on a sack. I know we talked about how, you know, Tavondre Sweat's long-term future, maybe not what you thought it was at the beginning of the season. How are we feeling about Tavondre Sweat after he comes back from the injury?
Yeah, I mean, look, he worked his way in. There were moments where you could tell he was fatigued, but he did make a couple plays. I think he's someone that's married to the keeping Jeffrey Simmons.
Like, yeah.
That's really what you are supposed to be building your defense around, those guys in the middle.
Yeah. So Tavondre Sweat back healthy. You hope Jeffrey Simmons doesn't miss too much time so you can finally see those guys on the field for more than, what, 12 snaps, maybe less. Let's go to Ron on our text line. Ron says, good morning. Hey, TD. Two questions. Are the Titans looking for a coach that calls plays, or would they want an OC to call plays? If so, he says Byron Leftwich as OC. Look what he did in Tampa.
I love the mention of Byron Leftwich, and it's crazy because that's another one. He had head coaching
yeah.
interviews, and he's just kind of like falling by the wayside.
Right.
That is someone that you could bring. I think that would be awesome for Cam Ward, too, because that gives you someone that could relate to Cam, you know, as a guy who was the franchise quarterback and a guy who's worked with Brady
yep.
and was respected by Brady. I think that is a good option. Maybe if you have an Arthur Smith with Byron Leftwich and Denard Wilson,
yeah.
you know what I mean, keep John Fossil, that's a pretty good coaching staff.
Right, that's a coaching staff that at least inspires a little bit of confidence
right.
that they've done it before, and you feel good that they can put a good product on the field. Ron also asks, second, should we build from the inside out? We need linemen. First pick should be a lineman. Borgonzi has said that too. You want to build from the trenches. The offensive line, you're not ready to give up on J.C. Latham yet, obviously.
Right.
So I don't know if you would go first pick on the offensive line, but we were talking about defensive end feels like a pretty safe bet for
yeah.
your first pick.
I would say impact pass rusher, pass catcher. It is about time this organization does that, right? The highest, let's see what, eight. I would say A.J. Brown is probably the highest receiver picked.
Corey Davis.
Burks. No, I'm talking about since.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so Treylon Burks with the AJ trade. Like,
yeah,
that was
yeah,
the
yeah.
last time you spent a.
That's the last time you spent
round,
a first
day,
or.
I want to say a day one or two pick on a receiver.
Yes.
So you have that, and you look, you haven't drafted a defensive line, like an edge guy in the first
Except
round.
Except for Femi was second round. Harold Landry was second round.
But we talking first round.
Derek
you know
Morgan.
What I mean? Been a while. Oh, by the way, while you mentioned Derek Morgan protocol, he has
right,
a gym
up in Germantown.
In Germantown,
yep.
open. I'm going to be checking that out soon. Hey, Derek, I got you. I'm going to be there. I promise. I promise, bro.
Yes, Derek Morgan was the last pass rusher taken in the first round by the Titans. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But yes, you're right. I'm thinking through it. The wide receivers that the Titans have taken since Treylon Burks, Colton Dowell, Jaquan Jackson.
Colton Dowell just signed with the Ravens, too.
Really?
Yeah.
And then, of course, this year with Ellick and Chim.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Austin asked, TD, who do you think will be more involved, Chim or Ellick? I think this means long term. Like, who are you thinking is going to be the bigger factor on the offense?
I think they're going to be a factor together. Honestly, it's just a matter of time until they start getting Iron Manor involved again. You know, because he's a guy that he does everything you want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's a willing blocker. He's someone that you can run screens to. He's someone that you could get vertical with. He's someone you could work the middle of the field. In fact, I believe he works the middle of the field very well. So you have that. But it's just something about Chim in the slot running that deep over, man. And you just love to see it.
Yeah.
And they did it twice, back to back. And next thing you know, you're in the end zone. It's about time they call
Fire
the
up, ring of fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think Ellick Iamanner is your more well-rounded receiver.
Yeah.
But and Ellick's fast, but Chim's fast. Like, Chim's got that legit speed out there, and I'd like to see them use it more often. And I'm
yeah.
glad we saw it on Sunday against
yeah.
the Patriots.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So, like, Whiteboard Wednesday, I drew that up. And the thing that I like is when you have him on that deep crosser, it worked. Now, if it's quarters, you probably want to check out of it and get into like a four verticals kind of thing. But the deep crosser, right? If it's man coverage, I'm trusting Chim to run away from the nickel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
If it's zone, cover two, hey, Chim, look, man, see that goalpost in between those safeties? I want you to run to that right there.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And don't hit your head on the way. You know what I mean? If it's cover three, I want you to keep it skinny.
Yeah.
You know, work up the hash and see can you find that seam. You know what I mean? So it's like a three-option route.
Right.
A route that beats three different coverages, you know, and I like that.
Do you see Chim's mic'd up that they posted yesterday? That yeah. I loved him going through. It's like, I got him on my hip, and as soon as that, I was just thinking, run.
Yeah.
Just run.
Yeah, yeah, just run. You heard him. Going to get it, man. He went and got that thing. That was a beautiful catch.
I love when they get the mic'd up, because it's like you get to see these guys' personalities. Chim saying, like, I wish I was a better dancer. Like,
yeah.
I wanted to be like Odell when it was growing up.
Yeah, yeah. Odell used to hit that boy.
A couple more questions for TD. Appreciate all the interaction here. Let's go to 3280. TD, I'm leaning toward Matt Nagy for a few reasons. First, the relationship with Borgonzi would signal that he has actual power in the front office. Second, his experience with the development of Mahomes would be invaluable for Cam. And third, he's been a head coach before, so less unknown. Let me know your thoughts.
No, I'm with you. The development of the Trubisker, Mitchell Trubisky. Look, the first year, Trubisky was all right. I ain't gonna hold you. I never liked him.
They
but
went
he
like
was all right.
Before that year,
yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah, so I mean, you do have that. I think Nagy brings like that degree of jerk also.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. A fellow Southeastern Pennsylvania that gets points with me. I wouldn't be opposed to that, but it's just like, okay, who do you bring in as a play caller? And then or not the play caller, but your OC. Do you call the plays, and what do you do on defense? You know, I'm not against that at all. I've been, you know, someone who's mentioned Nagy as well. So I'm right there with you. I think Nagy, McCoy, you know, Arthur Smith, those are guys you have to consider for it. And obviously McCarthy, rather, excuse me. Nagy, McCarthy, Arthur Smith. Who was the other one we mentioned?
Saleh. Robert Saleh. You don't really realize – that Nagy, I mean, he had a winning record with Chicago during his time there in 4 years. He made the playoffs twice. The way it ended, obviously, kind of left a sour taste in people's mouth about him. But I don't think it would be a horrible hire if they ended up taking Matt Nagy. Robert texts in Brian Flores. What would you think about that? Obviously, there's some baggage there with the lawsuit against the league, but he's a guy who's certainly established himself as one of the premier defensive minds in the NFL.
Yeah, he established himself as one of the premier defensive minds, but I don't think they have the horses to run that defense.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
I don't know, it's a tough situation with this team. I, in my opinion, the best thing to do for whatever head coach comes in, with the exception of maybe Saleh, I think you got to retain Denard as your DC.
Yeah.
You know?
If you could, so. I mean, Denard Wilson and Bones Fossil, like, I think those are guys that the next head coach should at least attempt to see if they'll stay on staff, especially Fossil. And that's why... With Mike McCarthy, like, Mike McCarthy employed Bones Fossil in Dallas, so maybe that's an incentive to bring him in, too.
And see, that's a marriage, I think, that would work, McCarthy and Wilson, Fossil, you know what I mean? And I don't know what you do at OC,
but
I mean,
yeah,
obviously
McCarthy
the
calls
OC's
plays,
gonna have a lesser role anyway,
right.
You know?
So it'll be interesting what the Titans end up doing. And I, you know, when you fire the coach as early as the Titans did, you got a long time to talk about it before the interviews even start rolling in. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Appreciate everybody getting their questions in for TD. Again, every Thursday at 10 o'clock, you can talk to TD, and a lot of good interaction today. Vandy fans, it's time to party. The Commodores are ranked in the top 10, and ESPN's College Game Day is coming to Nashville to celebrate 1025 The Game. We'll be broadcasting live tomorrow from noon to 6 at the new Party Foul near Vandy in Midtown at 2031 Broadway. Plus, we will be giving away a pair of tickets to the sold-out game against Missouri this Saturday. So come out to the all-new Party Foul in Midtown tomorrow from noon to 6. I'm very happy that there is a Party Foul in Midtown now. They just closed the Gulch one. And, you know, I'm a fan of Party Foul.
You like Party Foul?
It's not a... I like the sit-down vibe of it. Like, the hot chicken isn't quite as good as, like, Prince's. But I do... enjoy the vibe of the sit down, and they got some good drinks there too. So I'm glad that there's one reopening a little bit closer to downtown, because the one in the Gulch was frequented by me. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Coming up next, let's have a conversation about the offensive line. Some of it's been good, some of it's been bad. 30 sacks through 7 games obviously is not good. We'll get into it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 1025 The Game. This Sunday, the NFL game of the week is the Giants and the Eagles at noon on Sports Talk 830. The NFL game of the week is presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and Macero in 12 South. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Appreciate everybody getting their questions in for TD in the last couple of segments. Again, 10 a.m. on Thursdays, always. Is your chance to talk to TD. Coming up in about an hour, Andrew Allegretta will join us for his weekly visit to talk Vanderbilt football as the number 10 Commodores host the number 15 Missouri Tigers College Game Day in town this weekend as well. TD, let's talk about the Titans offensive line. It hasn't been good.
No.
30 sacks through 7 games, and some of that can be put on the quarterback as well. But Bill Callahan is gone. I actually think the left side of the line has been fine. Peter Skoronski has taken a step forward this year. I actually don't hate what Dan Moore's doing right now. Like, I don't think he's getting consistently beat like he was early on in the year.
He's gotten better, and especially with the penalties also. So that is a good thing. But, man, $26 million,
right.
That's what he's going to cost next year. So it's like, yeah, you probably got one more year of Dan Moore. He's someone, so I have a trade candidate story popping. He's someone I considered
really
as a guy that they could look to move. But again, you trade him now. You
have
left
to
tackle.
Spend a top pick,
you know,
on a left
mean?
Tackle.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily think that you flip Latham back and put Ali Udo at right tackle. You know
just
what I mean?
Flip flop Latham every
just
year.
Continuing to. So I think he needs to be there at least another year.
Yeah, and we looked at his contract. He does have an out after year two, and it's not just a little out, it's an out with zero dead cap. So it's basically a 2-year deal with Dan Moore.
He's gone.
Yes. 2026 will be his last year.
He's not seeing that point this way. He's not seeing that stadium being built.
You found a Band-Aid for 2 years, so you don't have to use your first round pick on a tackle this year or next year. 2027, hopefully, you have filled in some of the other holes so you can afford to use that pick on a lineman. But yes, Dan Moore likely gone after 2 years, but I don't think he's been as terrible as he was through weeks 1-2. He's been average, which is what you signed him to be.
He's gotten better, and the line has gotten better.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And the thing is, and we have to be careful about blaming stuff on the offensive line, right? Because a degree of that goes on Cam Ward.
Right.
And we talked about a play earlier. That pocket was clean.
Yeah.
He had a guy right there.
Yep.
Just throw the ball. Don't flee a clean pocket. You know what I mean? So there's all types of things that are factored into us, but you always point to the offensive line as the initial thing, and it's not always their fault.
Yeah, and I believe both of the fumbles where no one touched Cam Ward count as sacks, right? Like, they count as sacks even though no one actually hit him. So, you know.
But, I mean, look, like, Chaseon got Kinnabon. Like, he got in there
awful fast. They tried to block Chaseon with Chim Dike, which – you know, all he had to do was try and get in his way, but he got beat almost immediately.
Yeah, you can't do that.
On the other side of the line, we'll talk J.C. Latham in a second, but Kevin Zeitler struggles. Is that just, you know, he's getting up there in age and, you know, maybe lost a step? Is that maybe a trade candidate if the Lions want to come and bring him back or something like that? I don't know, but he has not been good. In fact, I would say he's been the weak link on this offensive line so far this year.
Yeah, he's had his issues, to say the least. What, I think it was the Raiders game, I think it was.
The Raiders game was the one where him and Cushenberry just kind of passed off a free pass rusher to nobody.
Yes, yes. And that was one of that was the
Was
fumble.
That the fumble, the Devin White one?
Devin White. Yeah, so, I mean, look, he's had his issues, and I think age is finally catching up to him. Jackson Slater, keep an eye on him, right?
I was going
to
ask you that.
I think he's going to slide in. Look, Jackson Slater had a solid camp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, was it worthy of becoming a starter? No, but it's like, wait a minute. this is a guy that got late that could end up being something. You know, typically with these offensive linemen, like especially the guards, like they tend to be guys that were drafted day three guys a lot of times.
Yeah.
And they kind of bid their time, and then next thing you know, they're starting. You're like, well, where did he come from? You know what I mean? And I think that's what you're looking at with Slater. This offensive line, although it's not top tier and it's not as good as we thought it would be, I don't think that it's as far off as we think it is, right? Because you got Skoronski playing. Skoronski going to mess around and be an all-pro this year.
Yeah.
I'll be surprised if he's not a Pro Bowl player.
Yeah.
At the very least, I think he's going to be like one of the guys on tap, like, hey,
right,
man, so-and-so didn't go. You know, that type of situation. But, I mean, you look, so left to right, Dan Moore, okay, you got another year of that. Skoronski's playing well. Cushenberry, you know, he could play better, but he's serviceable.
Yeah.
Jackson Slater will eventually slide in for Zeitler. J.C., the biggest thing with J.C. Latham, he's got to get out of his own head.
Yeah.
He's got to get out of his own head. He's a very talented player. He's big. He did all the stuff that he did in the offseason to get his body right. Just get him out there. I feel like it's mentally for him. There's something that's not hitting mentally. And I don't know what it is, but to me, that's the case. So I say all that to say, the offensive line isn't that bad. And when you go tackle eligible, you know, you bring in a Juku, you could do Udo. You know, they have options, but it does have to get better over time.
Do you think Jackson Slater could end up getting some run at some point this year?
It's very possible.
If you get to the end of the year and it's like, hey, you know, we don't need to see any more of Kevin Zeitler, let's see what Slater can do.
Think about it, right? I know guys have pride, but if you're Kevin Zeitler, you're what, 30, 35?
Yep.
December 4th in San Francisco, like, what are you
playing for? Like, what's the point of running Kevin Zeitler out there?
You know what I mean? So that's those late December games I could see getting Slater. Hey, we gotta see what we got in this kid.
Right.
Let's see him against some the opposing team's talent, not what we got here. Let's see him against the opposing team, what he could do.
Yep. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's talk about J.C. Latham on the other side, because he's 2 weeks removed now from coming back from the hip injury, and it hasn't looked great. There's been moments when he's looked fine. I saw a rep where he kind of disposed of a pass rusher and allowed Cam Ward to escape the pocket and make a play. We'll talk about J.C. Latham next. The second-year tackle, not having the year I think that he hoped he would have coming into his second season in the league. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you on this Thursday. We'll wrap up hour number two next. You're on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman joined by Teron Davenport on this TD Thursday. Talking offensive line, Titans getting ready to take on the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday after falling to 1-6 against the Patriots this past week. And I wanted to get into J.C. Latham because you draft the guy 7th overall, you put him at left tackle to start off the year in his rookie season, flip him back to right tackle this year, and the hip injury has clearly stunted what you thought was going to be a big year of growth for J.C. Latham.
Yeah.
I'm not advocating for this. I'm playing devil's advocate because I've seen people say this on social media and wanted to get your thoughts. Moving J.C. Latham to guard has been a conversation. And, you know, with his size and strength, you can understand that, yeah, he might be an elite guard if you moved him in there. The lateral quickness has been an issue for him at tackle. Your thoughts on that possibility, which, you know, it's one of those things where you'd hate to spend two top 12 picks on guards in back-to-back years, but at that point, it's a sunk cost. You got to put him at the spot where he's going to help the team the most.
Yeah, I've heard that and I've seen that, and he's built like an NFL guard. Absolutely. I think he's built like a tackle, but, you know, do you do that, though?
See, I'm not advocating for it. I think you leave him at tackle because guess what? You move him to guard. Yeah, now you have two elite guards, you'd think. But now you got to go spend more premium capital on tackles like you have been for the past 5 years.
Yeah.
And I get it. If he's not good, you can't just leave him at tackle to leave him at tackle. But I think you give him every opportunity to prove that he can be a great tackle in this league.
Yeah, you know, the great aspect, I think, that part of it, that door is shrinking. But I think good is something that he could I think that's something he could achieve. I'm never going to say a guy can't be great, but, you know, the prospects of that are slimming. I just wonder if another move, like, what that would do for mentally, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This next hire and what you do O-line-wise, coach-wise, is going to be critical. And I wonder, you know, what it's going to take for JC to get in that right headspace.
Yeah.
I think the physical ability is there. You know what I mean? And if you watch him, like even like in practice yesterday, I was watching them work. They were working on their kick step. And, like, his was faster than all – like, he got back quicker than all the other tackles. You know, and of course, it's not saying much, but,
Fred, low bar.
You know, it's still – he was back the quickest. I don't know, man. I don't know.
It's disappointing to think that he can't be great because, again, seventh overall pick with a lot of talented players still on the board. But – we've seen offensive line depth is just so hard to find. Like it's hard to find good offensive linemen. It's one of those things where you're always going to look at it. And I know people look back at that, the Derrick Henry's final game in Nissan Stadium. And it's like, man, they won that game and it's great to send the king out on top. But if they had lost that game, you're picking sixth instead of seventh. Could have taken Malik Nabers. It's like seeing Joe Alt and Malik Nabers go off the board right before Latham and saying that Latham no longer the idea of him being great is not quite as likely as it is that he's just a good player. And Brock Bowers, who been injured this year, but Brock Bowers going six picks later, it's like, man, you had elite players in that draft and not taking one when you have the seventh overall pick is disappointing.
Yeah, it is disappointing, but you know the thing I always hate is when you say, okay, well look what so and so is doing there. Well, imagine what he'll do here. Different circumstances, different situations. You know, like I firmly believe if Corey Davis went to the Saints, and you know Michael Thomas
yeah.
came here, I think the Corey Davis
careers
would be the one
could have flipped. Yeah,
said. So it's just I never really get into that. It is what it is. Like, this is what you got. Now you just got to make the best of it.
Jeremy and Clarksville asked a good question on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. This team used to be good at finding and drafting offensive linemen. Why has it been a struggle since 2020? I think part of it is just it's harder to be a good offensive lineman in this league. Like, there's a lot better defensive linemen, too.
The availability is more scarce.
Right, yeah.
I mean, this is an organization. Like, they drafted Taylor Lewan, Jack Conklin, you know?
Yeah, what, 5 years apart? No, two years apart.
Two, yeah. So, I mean, and this is an organization. You went out and signed Roger Saffold. Like, that was a really good signing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they made some good moves, but it just – they were unraveled by some bad ones.
Well, yeah,
know?
And you can even injury. Look back to, like, Michael Ruse and David Stewart. Like this has been a team that typically has good offensive linemen, and they find the diamonds in the rough, and they haven't been able to even find the diamonds in the diamond mine lately. I mean, it's like the top of the draft, they haven't been able to bring these guys in. I mean, you've spent first-round picks on Isaiah Wilson, now J.C. Latham, Peter Skoronski, too, who, again, we don't know what they're going to end up being. Second-round pick on Dylan Raidens. Third-round pick on Nicholas Petit-Frere. Even half of those guys working out sets your offensive line up for success for a long time, and they just haven't been able to find the right guys.
Yeah, it's been bad. It's been bad.
And that's why we are where we are, where you're looking at the offensive line. And right now, you can see that it's serviceable. Like, I don't think that the Titans have just a disastrous offensive line like they have over the last 4 or 5 years. Like, it's not like Nicholas Petit-Frere just getting ragdolled like he was last year a couple of times. But it's still not where it needs to be. And you're just looking in your mind. You're like, guess what? We're going to have to spend another first-round pick on a tackle within the next 2 years because you're not going to bring Dan Moore back after 2026 unless he somehow develops into a guy you want to play left tackle for the long term. And we don't know what J.C. Latham's going to be as he's struggled even when he's been out on the field so far this season. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Titans offensive line, 30 sacks again through the first seven games of the year. And Cam Ward is part of that. And I think the good thing you see is there's less instant pressure when the opposing team is only rushing four, right? Like
if they overload or anything like that, forget it.
Well, that's I'm blanking on what game that was. It was Denver. It was Denver in week one where J.C. Latham goes out at halftime and they just said, you know what, we're going to blitz you on every single play. Yeah. Figure it out, rookie.
Yeah.
And
Udo's first rep.
Yeah.
He said, watch out. Watch out now.
Who was the – God, what was the clip of the left tackle just getting beaten, yelling back at his quarterback? Look out.
Yeah. Yo, that's just terrible. I ain't going to lie, man. That type of situation, like – We go to the sideline. We might have to square up. Man.
I need to look and find that during the break because it's one of the funniest things of him just yelling. He yells his name. Who is it?
We got to look at it.
We'll find it during the break. It is so funny. And that happened during that Denver game. The back-to-back sack that knocked him out of field goal range. It was basically just like, hey, we're going to send eight. You got a rookie quarterback back there. See if you can find the open guy in 2 seconds. And obviously they couldn't. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll continue to talk Titans on the other side to start hour number three. And again, Andrew Allegretta, the voice of Vanderbilt football, will join us at 11:30 to preview the Commodores and the Missouri Tigers this Saturday in Nashville. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.